Blog Talk Radio.
There is a legend of two men out on the sports prairie. Two lonesome men that can wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. It is the legend of El Presidente and his faithful sidekick, $2 Bill Josh. It is the legend of the Mallets Wrap-Up, and that legend continues today.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. Some pro football, for that matter, unless you're a Colts fan, and we'll certainly dive into more of that as well as the show goes along. We do this thing called the wrap-up every single day at 6 o'clock, so make sure that you tune in as well. And I think we're going to have a $2 Bill Josh join us for just a few minutes. I know that he's got some other things going on, so when he calls in, we'll dive right into that. Now, one of the big stories to come out of the NFL, obviously, is Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts, and they just really in the second half yesterday out at Lucas Oil Stadium got manhandled and schooled by the Cleveland Browns. Now, one would say that let's again blame it on Kerry Collins. Sorry about that. Let's blame it on Kerry Collins. And let's not, because, again, he completed 50% of his passes yesterday. And a good time for the defense to shine, and they did not shine. A good time for the special teams to shine, which they did shine. But also, here's the thing. The Colts aren't that good of a team right now, even if they had Peyton Manning on the field. So I don't know what the problem is and why things aren't clicking the way that they need to be clicking. I understand there's been a lot of distractions, but these guys are professionals, and they really need to get their act together. And it's almost as if they just – have just kind of said, okay, well, we're just going to show up and earn a paycheck on Sunday afternoons, and let's hope that we have a better season next year. And I hope that that's not the case, but that's certainly how things appear out on the field. Now, Josh, $2 Bill Josh is now with us. Josh, what are your thoughts when you watch a game like we watched yesterday and the week before with the Indianapolis Colts?
My thoughts are, actually, yes, I kind of agree with what I've heard today. I haven't heard if it's been confirmed. There is a chance that the Curtis Painter is going to be the starting quarterback against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. But before you make a quarterback change, let's understand one thing first. Me and you had a chance to discuss this at length yesterday. We'll discuss it more on the show on Saturday morning. Now, last week, I know you didn't want to put any of the blame on Kerry Collins. Some of the blame has to go on Kerry Collins. He's missed wide-open wide receivers, and he's fumbling the football. Part of that is not his fault. He's had, 24 of 25 days to learn the position of the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And everybody's expecting him to be Peyton Manning. Kerry Collins is not Peyton Manning. What he is, though, is a very serviceable backup. He's going to get things done. Me and Tom, more than me, didn't build this show in 25 days. the Colts weren't built in 25 days. So I don't know if you would agree or not, Tom. Asking Kerry Collins to be Peyton Manning after 25 days is a bit ridiculous.
Right, I'm not even remotely even close to asking him to do that. I mean, he completed 50% of his passes. I mean, I think there are some miscellaneous things that he can do to be a little bit better. I haven't heard that about the quarterback change, but at the end of the day, the Colts started out strong. Adam Vinatieri carried the whole team yesterday. And if it wasn't for his ability to kick field goals, and by the way, he redeemed himself from the week before. So take back all the bad stuff I said about him not being able to kick a 37-yard field goal. But anyway, Adam Vinatieri carried the team. I don't think that there's something that's more in it. I don't know. Surely Peyton Manning, I mean, like I said, Peyton Manning had never had anything to do with the defense. Perhaps maybe he has some effect on Joseph Addai or Reggie Wayne or Jeff Saturday. He has some effect on those. But he has nothing to do with the defensive line. I know we've got Gary Brackett hurt, but I mean, and I know we've got other injuries, but it's time that they're professionals. They make several hundred thousand, if not $1 million a year, to get out there and play Colts football. And Colts football, both the fans and the organization deserve better than a 27-19 loss to the Cleveland Browns.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. And like I was telling Tom yesterday, I think it comes down to four things. A third of the reason the Colts stink right now is Kerry Collins. A third of the reason is the offensive play calling. Yesterday, the Colts were moving the football on the ground. We looked like we were finally a power-running team. About a sixth of its age. And I don't know if you're going to agree with this or not, Tom. Some Colts fans might be angered by this. Maybe a sixth of it. We're just not as talented as we once were, and we need to learn to accept that fact.
No, absolutely. And the dirty little truth is quite simply this. The Colts weren't going to be that good anyway this year, not even with Peyton Manning. And the thing is, I think that the team and the media is using Peyton Manning as the scapegoat. And, yeah, maybe they would have been a little bit better if Peyton Manning was out playing. But maybe they would have won 9 games instead of, say, 3. But somehow Manning, who is great in his own right, don't get me wrong, has managed to get even better while he's gone. And the flaws on this team were just showing last year. And, you know, you remember when Manning fell behind Tom Brady and the Colts lost a home game to the New York Jets in the first round of the playoffs? So despite the reputation for being a draft genius, the Colts haven't drafted well in the last couple of years, and their special teams really aren't that special. Their offensive line is awful. Their defense can't stop the run. They can't develop a backup quarterback. So let's look at the whole picture with the Indianapolis Colts. It's the Colts as a team. It's not Peyton Manning.
I would absolutely agree, but let's not lose sight of the fact that even though we're 0-2, the Colts have found, I want to describe DeLon Carter as a mini Jerome Bettis. He's short, he's really big, he's powerful. In the 2 games, he's averaging something like 7 yards a carry. My question is, Tom, with the lack of receiver help that we have right now, do you split Joseph Addai out wide and put DeLon Carter in the backfield? Or do you go to 2 backs?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that's just something that the Colts are going to have to experiment with. And here's the thing, guys, and we will certainly get more into this in the gridiron this week in our 2-hour show. But, fans, you're the 12th man, and then it's up to you to step up and play your part in the game. And, you know, late in the third quarter, you know, shame on you for booing Kerry Collins. I mean, yeah, he's a 38-year-old, given $4 million and because he threw an interception within 5 minutes, and left in a 5-point game about 140. There's about 140 days, 4 hours and 10 minutes and 15 seconds left on the Super Bowl clock, Josh. And Colts are just saying, screw it, we're done. And they're booing Kerry Collins. Shame on you, 12th man. If you're the 12th man that we've got, I say we find a new 12th man. The fans, you need to get behind the Colts and not boo Kerry Collins. That is unacceptable.
I absolutely would have to concur with that statement. It's all right, fans, to call into the talk show. You can call into this one right now if you want at 917-889-8516. It's all right to call into the talk show and vent and let it out. If I was a Colts player and I'm giving it everything I got, and most of those guys, if not all those guys, are giving it everything they got. Kerry Collins, bless his heart, he is what he is. He's not like he's out there just throwing the ball around and saying, yeah, who cares, I'm here to collect $4 million. You could tell on the sideline he truly deep down wants to win these football games. How dare you say you're a true Colts fan? Watch this team go all out yesterday. They played as hard as they possibly could. There was nothing more they could have done. And walk out in the third quarter. Boo them and walk out. If that's all you're going to want to do, then go ahead and sell your tickets. Admit you're a Peyton Manning fan. You're not a Colts fan. You're one of the national media who all of a sudden, by the way, is no longer on the Colts bandwagon. And stop coming to Lucas Oil Stadium. Either be a Colts fan or just don't show up at the game.
No, and that's exactly what my sentiments are as well. Colts fans, be fans, and be good sports about it. That's not Colts. I mean, if you were in Philadelphia, and we'll get into that here in a minute, just after the break. But if you were in Philadelphia and you booed Michael Vick, okay, that's normal for you to do. But to boo Peyton Manning, I mean, to boo Kerry Collins because he threw an interception. Let's not forget, Peyton Manning has thrown his share of interceptions. Plenty of interceptions has Peyton Manning thrown over the time that he's been there. So I think what it is, fans are just, they want to blame the world on in the fall of the world on this whole thing with Kerry Collins and Peyton Manning. Bottom line is the Indianapolis Colts aren't out there playing football. They aren't doing their job. And if until they start doing their job, we're not going to win games. We'll be right back on Blog Talk Radio.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Welcome to another exciting adventure of The Balance. That's right, boys and girls. The Balance team is...
Do you like what you hear on The Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
I never get enough of that. Well, welcome back to the Balance Wrap-Up. My name is Sal Marquez, El Presidente. Right alongside me, as usual, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, glad you could join us today.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be on. Coming up tomorrow night, I don't think we're going to have time tonight. The Balance has a contest on October 16th. The Colts have a 1 o'clock game. One lucky fan is going to win dinner for two at the Colts Grill with me and Tom, courtesy of The Balance. We'll tell you how tomorrow, and we'll remind everyone on Saturday.
Yeah, and we'll let you know how when the details and all of that come together. All right, guys, we've talked some NFL. We'll get to the scores here in just a minute. We want to make sure that we cover some really good, exciting college football here in the state of Indiana. Obviously, Notre Dame, IU, and Purdue all had wins. So let's look at this Notre Dame-Michigan State game. Still had some turnovers. Tommy Reese still had a fumble. Still had some situations that they're dealing with, Josh. But what are your thoughts about this Michigan State-Notre Dame game?
I thought for the first time Notre Dame played a complete game. Yeah, they turned the ball over a few times. But like Gary talked about last week on the gridiron, if Notre Dame could hang on to the football, you're talking about them as a national title contender. As is, they can't hang on to the football, so you don't know what to expect out of the Irish. So right now, you're better off not projecting what they're going to do. My question, Tom, is now that you've seen Notre Dame play three times, could you play for Coach Kelly? I'm not sure I could. I'm not sure I can hang on to the football. I'd be scared he's going to yell at me when I get to the sideline.
He is a yeller. That's you know, that's for sure. And, you know, it was a good game. It was a good win. I think the final score was, and I don't have my notes right here, but it was 31-13, I believe. And really the defense is really what put things together for Michigan State and Notre Dame. And Notre Dame really's defense really came together and was able to put things together. And yeah, it was 31-13 against the Michigan State Spartans. Now let's keep in mind, and I don't know if you saw this, Josh, but Michigan State tried again to pull that fake field goal punt there. Did you see that?
They did try again, and Notre Dame snuffed it out at the line of scrimmage. But the game I'm excited to talk about, and the game I wish I could have got to go to, but I had to work on Saturday. Tom, what about that 59-0 shellacking Purdue put on Southeast Missouri State?
No, I know. I was up there at Purdue in West Lafayette, and you're right. It was Well, you know, the thing is, you've got a Division I school playing a Division II school, and they were highly, highly overmatched, I would say, in a lot of ways. But, you know, it was good to see a lot of the freshmen get out there and play. Obviously, Robert Marv had an opportunity to return from his knee injury and helped out Purdue a little bit. And in the post-game conference, Coach Hope said in many different ways and in many different angles, Tara Bush is their quarterback. They're standing behind starter Caleb Tara Bush, who completed 14 of 17 passes for 143 yards. The Boilermakers rushed for 393 yards and had 627 yards of total offense, compared to 153 for football championship subdivision member Southeast Missouri State. Purdue notched its first shutout since a 51-0 win over Syracuse on September 5th, 2004, and allowed under 200 yards for the first time since playing Ball State on September 11th. 2004. So it was a good game to watch. It was, I mean, again, 59-0. You know, you're going to have a lot of key plays, a lot of plays that actually got to see a lot of young players play and develop. So you know, Purdue gained 396 yards just in the first half and held Southeast Missouri State to 57. The Red Hawks offense started just one play in the first half on Purdue's side of the field. So, I mean, really, Purdue just schooled them and really had their way with them all day long, Josh.
And I think that's certainly a good win for the Boilermakers. That gets the winning taste back in their mouth. They should be 3-0 this year. But
well, the other good game down in Bloomington, Indiana, out at Memorial Stadium, obviously the Indiana University win against South Carolina State. Josh, did you have a chance to look at that game?
Actually, I did. I DVR all Indiana University football games. Tom, what would I say? What would you say if I told you the Hoosiers had 20 penalties on Saturday, and they won? But the more impressive thing, depending on, if, I don't know if it's impressive good or impressive bad, it's the third time in IU's football history they've had 15 or more penalties in the game, and they're 3-0 in those games, winning each of them by at least 15 points.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that statistic, but, you know, here's the thing. After IU's loss to Virginia last week, they had to get a win. And so they had a good win against South Carolina State. And so, you know, always exciting to see IU win down there in Bloomington. It was a must-win situation for them, and they had to go out there and get the win, and they did exactly that, Josh. So, you know, here's the thing. Whenever you put 557 yards total offense and run 91 plays, you're going to see your share of big individual performances. And certainly this game was no exception. Let's look at a true freshman tailback, D'Angelo Roberts. Wow. He ran for 102 yards on 19 carries and scored a touchdown. He had a long run of 33 yards and was hitting holes hard to play after play, and becomes the first true freshman to run for 100 yards at Indiana since Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in 2003. Perhaps even more impressive statistic is that Roberts gained all of the yards on the second half. At halftime, he had only had two carries and for 0 yards. So when you look at that and a true freshman like that, wow, that's all I can say is that there must be some good things to come from this guy.
I absolutely agree. And here's the deal. I know I was a little critical after Coach Wilson after the first game. I had a chance to talk to him a couple of weeks ago over at Giant Stadium. Unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to do an interview. There's something called you got to go through the compliance department and all that good junk. But Tom knows more about than I do. Had seen him coach three games as a head coach at Indiana University. He's a really great guy. And if any IU fan says that IU needs to let Coach Wilson go, you obviously don't know anything about football. You know, I was critical of him after the Jack Trudeau incident. Now that I've met Coach Wilson, you kind of explain the whole incident. It's you, Jack Trudeau, I have a problem with, not Coach Wilson. Leaving the guy alone, he's a super nice guy. He's super cool, collected. He'll talk to anybody who approaches him. I think you got a real winner in Coach Wilson.
All right, well, we'll certainly see. Hopefully they can rack up some more wins. Well, going back to the NFL real quickly, obviously Peyton Manning reportedly went under some stem cell surgery out in Europe. He had to go to Europe because this procedure isn't approved in the United States. That tells me, Josh, things aren't looking good for number 18.
I would agree. The bigger question is, and it's hard to even ask this question as a Colts fan, Tom, are we going to see him again? Or did I accidentally, when I was projecting that the end was near, accidentally get it right, even though I was hoping I was wrong?
Well, and I talked about this a little bit over on the Gary Snyder Show, and we'll certainly dive more into this on the gridiron, but, I mean, I don't think we're going to see him at all this year. I mean, and let's see how the offseason does, and let's see how he does in rehab. But I'm not ready to jump on the bandwagon and say that Peyton Manning is done, and so we'll get into more of that. Want to make sure that guys, you check out, especially you fantasy football studs, man, check out your team, Mr. Tom Brady. What a game that he had again yesterday. Josh, he just continues to amaze me as a quarterback, and especially as a fantasy quarterback. Tom Brady is the real deal.
Tom Brady is the real deal, and he had an amazing game yesterday. Speaking of the real deal, Cam Newton appears to be the real deal, and so do the Buffalo Bills.
Right, absolutely. You look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I tell you what, the Buffalo Bills had a great game against the Oakland Raiders and their win 38-35. And then over there in Carolina with your Cam Newton 23-30, and that just tells me Cam Newton got to win some ball games. You can have all the great games in the world, and I believe you're a great quarterback, but he's got to win. He's got to win some ball games. All right, let's go through these scores real quickly, Josh. Kansas City, Detroit. Talk about the real deal. 48-3, guys. And Josh, you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. These Lions are the real deal this year. We just talked a little bit about the Cleveland Browns and the Indianapolis Colts and their 27-19 loss. Tampa Bay, Minnesota, 24-20. Chicago, New Orleans. New Orleans over Chicago. A game that was really disappointing to me. I thought that the Bears would play a much better game than that. The Jets, Jacksonville. The Jets, 32-3 over them. Pittsburgh beats Seattle, 24-0. I don't understand how a team like the Seattle Seahawks can fall 24-0 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And speaking of scratch your head moments, and I guess that just goes to, you know, the theory any given day. Baltimore and Tennessee. Who would have thought that Tennessee would have had the kind of game that they had against Baltimore yesterday, Josh? So, you know, a lot of good games in the NFL. Obviously, really close game out there. Arizona traveling out to Washington. Wasn't quite able to get it done, 22-21. Dallas and San Francisco. Dallas was Tony Romo appeared to have has some bruised or fractured ribs there. Cincinnati and Denver, 22-24. Houston, Miami. Houston, again, winning again, 23-13. San Diego, New England, these guys just battled all day long. And obviously we talked a little bit about Tom Brady just really being the real deal and putting up some great numbers. Real quickly, though, Josh, Philadelphia and Atlanta. Looks like Michael Vick, he's out for at least 1 week, appears to have a concussion. And we talked about this on the gridiron, and I talked about it as well. Michael Vick, not a $100 million quarterback.
You know, maybe the football gods have finally gotten enough. Or maybe it's the animal gods. Maybe it's a combination of the two. I'm not going to get into this whole dog fighting incident. But, Tom, I think it's kind of ironic when he goes back to Atlanta, he gets knocked silly.
Yeah, the irony is absolutely there. And here's the thing. Michael Vick is prone to injury, and if you ride his train very long, the way I look at it is get him while he can get it for you, because he's going to get hurt, and maybe even, you know, he's going to get in a situation to where he can't get out of this season. Well, tonight, the Rams, the Giants. Josh, who you got?
I'm going to go with the New York Giants just because Steven Jackson appears he won't play for the St. Louis Rams. The Sam Bradford's a little beat up. But, Tom, nobody thought that at the beginning of the season either the Giants or the Rams would be 0-2.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the Giants have a lot to prove. I think that the Rams are really struggling a little bit on this particular game. So, you know, I also think that the Giants will pull out a win. But I think it'll be another close win. So, you know, I think, and there again, you know, this game is littered with fantasy football players. So if you've got a player playing tonight, you want to make sure that you want to check that out. Well, guys, that's going to do it for today's wrap-up. Josh, real quickly, give us the one-minute timeout.
Tune in to ESPN 2 at 8 o'clock as New York Liberty, Indiana Fever playing game, deciding game 3. And also Rams, Giants are on 8 o'clock. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at 6 o'clock for Tuesday's Daily Wrap-Up.
Well, that's it, guys. It's Monday, September 19th. You've been wrapped up on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio.